Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Putting Vegas in that story aside, Ray, because that gets unanimous votes, that's the most shocking and surprising story of the season. It's an incredible story. They're first overall. We listed off a bunch of other surprises. Colorado's won 10 in a row, considering what they were a year ago. Philly lost 10 in a row, and now they've stormed back, and they're back into a playoff spot. Neither McDavid or Crosby are in the top five for point getters. Erik Karlsson is an unmitigated disaster. There's a lot of surprises. Montreal, Edmonton, Ottawa, all in the bottom seven or eight in the league. Outside of Vegas, which is the biggest surprise for you?
I was going to say probably Colorado, because I didn't even give them a thought. You know, coming out of, you know, they still had to clean up the Duchesne mess. You know, it didn't seem like there was really anything much to be positive of side. I mean, Nate MacKinnon was there, but he wasn't this Nate MacKinnon. I would say them, although, you know, as you know, I did the game in Minnesota last night, and I can't believe the year that Karlsson is having. Like, he was on for all three goals last night. He was directly the main actor in two of them.
Ray, is he not embarrassing himself? Like, I know that he's Erik Karlsson. Well, there's two things to it. I think that the play is, he's embarrassing himself. The way he's playing, the carefree attitude. And I think the team's a little bit responsible for it. When the GM comes out and says, on the eighth day they came out with, they came with Erik Karlsson. It's just like they've created this monster, and I've seen it happen with teams I played on, where you prop this guy up, and he does and can say and act and do whatever he wants. And I like Karlsson, I like the carefree spirit, but it's just it's almost turning into a joke.
Right now, he's either totally disengaged from what the hell's going on, like he's just had it. I think he's, you know, I don't mean to put words into what he's thinking here, but you know, I'm sure he's had it with the who are we going to trade, who are we not going to trade. I'm sure he's had it with the, you know, with what comes out of the owner's office, you know, on a far too regular basis. It just looks like he's fed up and he's just going through the motions. It is embarrassing to watch because of the type of player he is. I mean, he is not an average run-of-the-mill player. He's a superstar, and it's different. Superstar, Drew Doughty had a terrible year last year, but it wasn't like this.
No.
I mean, last night was, I mean, they're not even a minute into the game. He's standing in front of the net. He's not checking the puck carrier. He's not checking the guy on the back door. It's in the net. And then he got walked on that third one. So like, holy smokes, that shouldn't happen to him. He dove into the play. The play was not there. It's shocking the type of season that he's had.
That might be the answer. Like, as crazy as everything else is, he, considering the last time we saw him play was Game 7 of the Conference Final, where he was unquestionably the best player in the playoffs last year.
Dominating the league.
He was unbelievable in those three series that he played in. Like, there was talk of him winning the Conn Smythe without getting to the Cup Final. That's how good he was.
Yeah, he was good.
Like, Karlsson,
I will say this, though. Like, you know, I don't love the way that everything just seems to be not that important right now. You know, the way his demeanor is. But I will say this, and, you know, he had a brutal surgery in the off season. He didn't get on the ice until late August. He wasn't ready at the start of camp. He didn't start camp. He didn't start skating really hard until he was 2 weeks into the season, or, you know, like, ready to play. And then he wasn't ready. And he's been behind ever since. And I don't think he's dealt with it very well. I'm with you. I don't know if the team has dealt with it very well. He probably should have had a way reduced role instead of just thinking he was going to be back to being Erik Karlsson, like the one that we're used to seeing. Because he's not even in the ballpark of it.
Yeah, and it's hard, Ray, because we all know we've seen him at his best, so that's what the expectation is. And the minute it's not there, you're wondering what's going on, but people.
But it's so far from his best.
You're
like,
right.
That's the crazy part.
But I don't buy into the theory that it's just Mark Methot. Like, I like Frederick Claesson as a defenseman. He hasn't been near close to what he was last year. You know, and you go right down that lineup. Like, now Duchesne's starting to wake up. When he arrived, he looked like he was completely lost. Brassard hasn't had a good year. Hoffman's been on the outside. Bobby Ryan's been in and out of the lineup. Phaneuf hasn't been good enough. Cody Ceci hasn't, you know, like, you go right down that lineup.
Noodles, you could save a lot of error by saying who has been good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go the opposite
right.
way.
You're right. I think Mark Stone's been good. That's
think,
the guy.
I think Tom Pyatt's been good.
You're right, but you know
so
what you're going to get from him. And Pageau.
Yeah, that's two.
Pageau's hurt, and he's a consistent player. You're right. I should have gone the other way and said there's four or five guys that have played.
Well, as we circle back to the Leafs over the past month and a half, do you think it's probably easier to do that with the Maple Leafs as well? How many guys have played really well, either met expectations or exceeded expectations over the past month? There's probably more guys on the other end of the spectrum.
Freddie Anderson?
Anderson, Matthews, Riley when he was healthy.
Riley.
Hainsey's been fine.
Hainsey's been very good. Yeah, Brown, I think, has competed the way you would expect him to.
JVR has been more, you know, has been maybe quiet lately, but if we're going over a month, absolutely been fine. But well, there's more that haven't been in the good boat, that's for sure.
Yeah, over a month and a half. And the season's a lot longer than that, so obviously that's a convenient date to apply here,
right,
considering it meets the context of the conversation. But JVR is an interesting one for me because there's all this chatter about how much he's going to get paid, how many years he's going to get, and when you really break down how effective he is and where he's effective, it's a pretty short list. Like, he's a big body in front with great hands. It gets you 25 or 30.
Right.
Doesn't kill penalties. Doesn't push play. Horrible defensively. Like,
my only concern about him is, how old is he?
28.
He's 28, and I don't think he's a lightning fast skater. So I think if you want to go 4 to 5 to 6 years, I always kind of look at guys, and I just have my own kind of theory on when the wheels could fall off. I just look at the bend in the knee and the flexibility. Who knows when the wheels are going to fall off that skating stride?
Yeah, see, I think he looks after himself.
Yeah, I think I would be fine with a 5-year deal.
I'm okay with that, and you're right. Whether he can do a lot of things that you mentioned, Brian, or not, he's going to get his money. He's going to, you know, whether it's in Toronto or whether it's somewhere else, when he hits free agency, he's going to make some cash.
No, you got to think of a team like New Jersey. He's a Jersey guy, I think. He would be a name to put people in the seats. They got to be sniffing around.
Well, and I mean, and just think, they've got Hall, and if you added a player like him, now you've they're already a pretty good team, and a team that seems to be on the up and come. You know, I like a lot of what New Jersey's done relatively quickly since Ray Shiro took over.
Quickly, before we let you go, Babcock, he threw the lines into a blender today, and then he was asked about the idea of mixing up Kadri and Komarov basically for the first time all year. And we couldn't understand why he would say this or how this makes any sense. But he said, quote, "I'm looking to have more balance and more attack, especially on the road when I don't have last change," end quote. So, are they not playing any more home games down the stretch, or what's up with that?
Well, this is a two game little blip here, right? Like, that's basically what he said, isn't it? Like, they're going to do it for the two games, and then we'll figure it out when they come back home. The part I liked was when he said, you know, he likes Leo with Kadri because 10 times a game he tightens him up. Like, is Kadri 8? Like, can he not get through a game on his own? Like, I think he can. Like, this, I think in a lot of respects, this is kind of the way a lot of us have thought the lines should look in some form. Now we'll see how they play in Chicago tomorrow. The Hawks are just getting steamrolled lately. And we'll just see how they play there. And then they go into Dallas. That'll be a tough back-to-back. And then we'll just see what the lines look like. But I don't know. Sometimes I think he likes to control the conversation so much that he's going to tell everyone what to think. And that's just the way Babs goes about it. I think he enjoys the game of it all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, Ray, enjoy the call tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, guys.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.